Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim, Daf Mem Tes. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Tes Samad Aleph. Teaches us the Mishnah, Hanoider Min HaMavushal. If somebody says he's making a neder that he won't eat anything that's cooked, Mutter B'tzli, he's allowed to eat roasted food, U'B'Shalok food, the two Pshatim and the Rishonim, who what shalak means. The Rand's interpretation is that shalak means food that wasn't cooked adequately. And even though he says that typically throughout Shas, when we have the word shalak, it means food that's overcooked, here, since by Nedarim, we follow the Lashon B'nai Adam, and in Lashon B'nai Adam, Mishalik means food that's not cooked that much. That's what we say is the interpretation of Shalik in our Mishnah. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says that the definition of Shalik here is the same definition that we have of Shalik throughout Shas. And throughout Shas, as we just said, Shalik means something which is overcooked. There's another Pshat, which the Tosfos Ritz suggests, that the definition of Shalik, he says, means food that was cooked without any spices. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah further, Amma Kainim Tafshal Shani Toyim. If he makes a statement that he won't have any Tafshal, that he won't taste it, also B'maisa G'day Rak, he may not eat something that's cooked and gets soft when it's cooked in the pot, U'mota B'ava, but he may eat food that turns into a mass, turns into a whole piece. U'mota B'bei Termita, He also may eat an egg that shrinks because it's cooked so many times. It was something that was typically eaten for refuah, and it shrinks to the size that you could swallow it in one shot. And that's not called a tafshal, as is a dover over not called a tafshal. As we said, the definition of a bay tamisa is something that is soaked 1,000 times in hot water and then 1,000 times in cold water. And then it's swallowed and it's not considered a tafshal. And furthermore, the Dalas Haramutza. We're going to see in the Gemara what is the definition of Dalas Haramutza, but for the sake of our explanation of the Mishnah, Dalas Haramutza is going to be considered a cucumber that came from that grows in the city of Remutza. Hanoider Mamasa Kadera, if somebody makes another, he's not going to have benefit from anything that's cooked in a pot. Eina os el maisa rivscha, something that's cooked till it's ready to be eaten in a pot. Ama kainim ayor l'kadei v'sheni toyim, but if he expressed his nether by saying kainim a yor l'kteirus any time, that I'm making a nether that anything that's put in a pot, I shall not eat, then also b'kol tafshilim b'kadeira, that he may not eat anything that is put into a pot, even if it's kept in the pot for a very small amount of time. Our Gemara, our Mishnah clearly indicated that tzliya, roasting, and bishul are two different types of preparation of food. Says the Matanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Abish and Raila Dover, that Rabbi Yoshi says Rabbi Yoshi says that if somebody made a nether that he won't eat cooked food, he may not eat roasted food either. Says the Brice, even though there is no explicit raya to say that sli, that roasting is a form of cooking, there is some sort of a zecha. Shnema, the Pasuk in Divrei Yom says, they cook the Pesach in the fire, k'mishpat, as the Torah requires us to do. Now we know that the carbon Pesach can only be eaten with tzliya. And how could the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim call the roasting of a Korban Pesach vayivashlu, cooking? From here we have a clear indication that Pesach, that Tzli is a form of cooking. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Gilyan Ashas asks a question: why does the Gemara bring a raya from the pasuk that stated in Devar Yomim, the pasuk that describes the preparation of the Korban Pesach in the Chumash, says Uvishalta Uvichalta? So we see clearly that the Korban Pesach, which as we just said, is prepared by roasting, the pasuk says Uvishalta, that it's called cooking. So the question, of course, is why did the Gemara have to bring a raya from? Why did Gemara have to bring a raya from a pasuk in the Reyamim, where the Gemara could have clearly brought a raya from a pasuk in the Chumash? And Akiva Eiger says, "V'yesh liyashev." So I saw that the Yalkut Shemayni actually has such a discussion as well, and he indeed brings the pasuk from Bishalta v'Achalta. The Chasam Sofer answers that the pasuk v'shalti v'chalta only was speaking about that the Pesach, maybe the pasuk is coming to teach us that although the Korban Pesach that was eaten in Mitzrayim was only allowed to be eaten roasted, maybe the pasuk indeed in the Chumash is telling us that it was cooking is fine. Only the pasuk in Devar Yomim, which clearly says "Vivashla Pesach Be'esh," is an indication that for all generations, the only way a Korban Pesach can be prepared is by roasting. Another teretz that he gives, the pasuk that says "Vishalta V'chalta," we could say is the Torah is coming to teach us that if somebody roasted their Korban Pesach, and after they roasted the Korban Pesach, they cooked it, it's still considered roasting. But that isn't the discussion that we're having in our shir today. Because in our shir, we're having a discussion, is roasting cooking or not? So from that pasuk, we don't have a raya. The Gemara therefore brings a raya from the pasuk, Vivashlos Pesach Peish, where it's clear that the pasuk is coming to teach us that they roasted the Korban Pesach. Another teretz that the Shalmi Nedarim suggests is one of the concepts that we often discuss in our shiurim. One of the concepts that we often discuss in our shiurim is the concept of Dloshim Ne'odom. That when we speak about Nedarim, we have to follow Dloshim Ne'odom, the way people speak. And when we need to judge which is more of an indication of the way people speak, of course, a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim is more of a proof that that's the way people speak versus a pasuk in the Chumash. So, if we want to speak about the way people express themselves, a better place to bring a raya to that is from a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim than a pasuk in the Chumash. So, we've had here machlokes. If when somebody said he's not allowed to eat cooked food, is roasted food included or not? So the Gemara wants to say that what is the machlokes? Rabbi Yoshi's opinion is halach achalash Torah, and we just found that in the Torah, in the Reyomim, in the Chumash, the Torah uses the word bishul when it speaks about tzliya, whereas Tana Dilon, and the Tanab Al Mishnah, who says that Tzliya is not included in Bishol, Sovvin Dharm, Hachalach Lash Mnei Adam. And people don't call roasting cooking, says Merloi. It isn't a compelling proof. Because the Kuli Alma, everybody could agree that Mendarm Hachalach Lash Mnei Adam. By Nadarm, we follow the way people speak. Marka Asre, but everybody paskind the Mishnah and the Braisa, the machloikas that we have between the Mishnah and Braisa, represent the way people spoke in different locations. Or Makasri, Basad Handalon, in the place of the Tanav Al Mishnah, Litzli Karli Tzli, something that was roasted is called Tzli, Ulevushel, and something that's cooked, Karli Mavushel. Or Basad Reboisha, whereas where Reboisha lived, Afilu Tzli, even something that was roasted, Kari Mavushel. Ask me a krokanosulei. But how could you say that Rav Oishi's opinion is that we follow the Losh B'nai Adam when we see when Rav Oishi wanted to support his opinion that Sli is included in Mevushal, he brought a pasuk. Says the Gemara, smacht ba'alma. Rav Oishi did not mean by bringing that pasuk to say that the pasuk is the basis of his opinion. The basis of his opinion is Losh B'nai Adam. The basis of his opinion is the way people express themselves. He only happened to mention the pasuk as a raya, that it's legitimate to call something roasted, cooked. The Mefarshim, the Paiskim, in discussing this Gemara, have, of course, a very important discussion. We know that the halacha is that one is not allowed to cook milk and meat together, as the Torah says in three different places. We're not allowed to cook it. We're not allowed to eat it. We're not allowed to have any benefit from it. And the question is what is the halacha regarding roasting milk and meat together? Is that considered also included in the Isra Bishul or not? For example, the Paiskim discuss what happens if a Jew is working in the home or in the restaurant of a non-Jew who's allowed to have bas b'cholov. But as we just said, the Torah, by mentioning the Isra bas b'cholov, three times, one of the reasons is to teach us that one is not allowed to cook them together, even if he's not going to eat it. So Jew is not allowed to be involved in cooking bas b'cholov. Will a Jew be allowed to be involved in roasting basa b'cholov together? And a very important point that the Paiskim take to this discussion is two elements. One is, as we've been discussing, the subject of our shir is nedarim. And when we speak about nedarim, as we've been discussing, the nedarim are focused on Loshem B'nai Adam, the way people express themselves. The Isser Abbas B'cholov is not dependent on the way people discuss themselves. It's what did the Torah mean when they said something is awesome. Another issue is, and therefore, even though we would venture to say that the question, if you're allowed to roast meat and milk together, or to be connected to the machloikas that we just learned in the Gemara, is in if Tzli is included in Bishul or not, it's not necessarily connected because our subject is Nedarim, which is dependent on Loshem Bnei Adam, and Bas B'cholov is dependent on what it says in the Torah. Another discussion is what is considered Bishul when we speak about Shabbos. Is when the Torah says a fi is also in Shabbos, what is the halacha regarding tzliya? And all the Paiskim say that isn't a compelling area either, because the halacha is that there, when we speak about Shabbos, we have a concept of avos and toldos. And therefore, since we only have a concept of avos and toldos, even if the Torah, when it speaks about bishul, means cooking, tzliya would certainly be also as a tolda. Moreover, there's a concept of melechus machsheves, so Shabbos also is not a raya. The Chavos Das, indeed, is of the opinion that tzliya is not included in bishul when we speak about bas b'cholov, for the different reasons that we just mentioned. The Pri Chodosh disagrees, and the Pri Chodosh says that tzliya is included in bishul, and the halacha is that we're not allowed to roast meat and milk together. Another area where this is relevant is that Shulchan Aruch teaches us in Aruch Haim Simon Tuf Kuf Nun Bey Sif Gimel that at the Suda Mafsekis, the last meal before Tisha B'Av, the halacha is we're not allowed to eat two tafshilin. And the question is, if you're eating one food that was cooked and one food that was roasted, is that considered that you ate two tafshilim, as if you're eating two tafshilim, which we're learning now you may not do? Or is it not considered that you ate two tafshilim because it's not considered something that was cooked? It's not a tafshil. It seems that most poskim are of the opinion that certainly by the Suda Mafsekis, you can't eat one food that was cooked and one food that's roasted. That is a violation of Shnei Tafshilim. And the reason it's considered a violation of two Tafshilim is, why is there indeed a halacha that by the Suda Mafsekis Erev Tisha B'Av, we may not eat two Tafshilim? Because when you have two Tafshilim in a meal, it makes the meal into a significant meal. So the fact that one food was cooked and one food was roasted doesn't diminish the significance of that meal. And since it doesn't diminish the significance of that meal, it's certainly prohibited. The question that I did see the Paiskim discuss is, what's going to be the halacha if you have one food that was cooked and then you have a coffee? Now, coffee is also something that's obviously cooked. You need to boil the water. And the question is, would one not be allowed to eat a tafshil and also drink a coffee or a tea, because that would be considered a violation of Shnei Tafshilim? And the Paiskim take the position, most Paiskim of the position, that's not considered Shnei Tafshilim. One reason is because the halacha that we've been discussing, that you're not allowed to eat tafshilin by the Suda Mafsekis, is talking about eating. One may not eat two tafshilin, but drinking a coffee and eating a food, shtia, drinking, is not considered an achila. And therefore, the halacha of what we may or may not eat at the Suda Mafsekis is not relevant to drinking. But another explanation is the explanation that we just gave, because the what we may or may not have at the Suda Mafsekis is very, very much connected. It's very much connected to what makes a meal significant or not. And as we said a moment ago, eating two tafshilin is what makes a meal significant. But drinking a coffee, which many people just drink a coffee because they need to drink and they want to drink something warm, so they drink a coffee or a tea, that doesn't make a meal considered significant. And therefore, everybody would agree that one tafshil and a coffee are permitted to be consumed at the Suda HaMafsekis. We learned in the Mishnah, somebody said, Kodim tafshil sheni tayim. He's not allowed to eat anything that's cooked in a pot that's loose, but he's something which has a thicker consistency is permitted. Ask the Gemara, from a tafshil neder, hasn't this person made a neder that he's not going to eat anything that's cooked? So how could he eat something? Why differentiate if it's rak or ova? Amma Abayis responds, Abayis, hi Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah says, kol midi d'mas'achel be'rifta, anything that's eaten together with bread, tafshil karelei. It's called tafshil. So something which is loose is eaten together with bread, and that's why it's called a tafshil. But something which has a thicker consistency is not something that's eaten with bread, and therefore it's not considered a tafshil. But ask the Gemara, how can we say so? For Tanya, haven't we learned in a brisa that a noidim of tafshil also become in a tafshil? You're not allowed to eat anything that's cooked in any fashion. Vasa b'tzli, you're not allowed to have something that was roasted or b'sholuk, something that was sholuk or b'moshul. Vasa b'dreyus rakis, he may not eat small cucumbers. Shecholim ochlim b'hem, piton. So the Hatanya is a raya that we see only something that's eaten with bread is considered a tafshil. Eini, says the Gemara, for Rabbi Yirmiyah Cholosh, Rabbi Yirmiyah got ill. Al gabei hahu asila suye. A doctor came to treat him. Chazakar the machzor beis, and he saw cucumbers in the home. Shafki v'nafik. So he just walked out. Omer, and the doctor said, Malach Hamavus isla l'deim v'beisei. The Malach Hamavus is in this person's house because cucumbers are very detrimental to people who are ill. V'nei Eil Asa Yasei, and I'm going to go cure him. So how are we saying that cucumbers are healthy. Says the Gemara, like Kasha. Habra Kiki, the brice that says that bread, that cucumbers are good, are referring to soft cucumbers. Habi Shune, the doctor who said that cucumbers are not good, talking about hard cucumbers. Rava Barulama, a different way of differentiating. Habi Kragufe, the doctor that says that it's not good, is talking about the eating the entire cucumber. The brice that says that they're good is begavi dekara. It's talking about what's inside, carving out the inside of the cucumber. Dama Rabbi Yehuda lelova dekara, what's inside the cucumber, and the Ran explains it because it's the soft part of the cucumber, the silka. If you cook it together with beets, we'll leave the kutna, and what's found inside the flax plant, the kutcha, if you cook it together with some sort of a milk type of dip, those are very healthy. However, he says, v'davazeh, oslo amr b'fnei amaretz, this may not be said by amaretz, because the Ran explains why we may we not say to the amaretz. So the Ran explains that the amaratzim, when they're going to hear this, they're going to hear how flax is such a healthy food, they're going to come to rip out the flax from where they're growing, and they're going to ruin all the flax. Another pshat that I saw is that maybe people were concerned that the maratzim are not going to follow the instructions properly. And if they're not going to follow the instructions properly, they're not going to only eat the part of the cucumber which is good. They're going to eat the part of the cucumber that's not good. And that we don't have. The Ragged Shover says a very interesting pshat. He says that the Gemara says that in Yerushalmi Maisris, that linen may be bought from anybody during the Shemitah year, because people don't plant flax for eating. But if people will eat flax for eating, so then it's going to become a machel, and it will not be something that we're allowed to do business with in the Shemitah year. Chazal wanted us to be able to still have something that grows during the Shemitah year that we're allowed to do business with. Rav Amar, that cucumbers are not healthy for a sick person under any circumstances. What's the definition? What is pshat that choylim eat cucumbers? It's drabonin. And what it means is that talmidei chachamim who are not really sick, they're just weak, they're allowed to eat, they eat cucumbers, not because they're really physically sick. And the Gemara Masech, this is based on the Gemara Masech, the Sanhedrin, daf chavav amabez, where the Gemara says that why is the Torah called Toshia? Nei mateshes koicha shel adam. It weakens a person. But the Mefarshim ask, the Pasuk says regarding the Torah, refuas tehei l'sarecha v'shiku ilatz masecha, that on the contrary, the Torah is a refua. So how do we understand this? So I saw that the Sefer Tverest Tzion says a beautiful pshat. He says that the Torah indeed weakens a person. As the Pasuk says, Odnam kiyomas b'oil, ein divrei Torah miskaimim, one cannot succeed in his learning, ela b'meimis asatz meleim, if he's ready to learn Torah and give up all of his everything for the Torah. But a person who learns Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lamala Medarchateva, above the natural way, makes him sick. So, and that's what the Gemara means to say here, that a Talmud Chacham is weak from learning, but he's not sick, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that he stay healthy. Rav Latameh, and Rav says the Gemara is following his opinion that he considers Talmud Chacham weak. Dama Rav, Kamam Metzlinen, when we daven, who are Syria, people who are sick, we daven by the bracha of Rafi Chayle Am Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help, that they should be healthy. Val Maria, and for the people who are weak, command Rabbi Yossi. It follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that says that a person every day is judged, And therefore, every day we need to daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should be healthy. The Gemara just gave two examples of people who are sick and weak. Shmamina, the Katsiri is the definition of Katsiri Mamish, people who are really sick, or Mari, and people who are weak, but not actually really sick, are the Rabbonim. And that's why we daven by the way the Mashah explains, by Birchas Rafei Chaylam Yisrael, we daven that people who are ill should have Rafu Shalema. And when we say the Bracha Al Tzadikim, we daven that the Talmidei Chachamim, the Tzadikim, who are weak from their learning, they Kadosh Baruch Hu should protect them, that they should stay healthy. So, Tosfos asks a question. Here the Gemara says that only according to Rabbi Yossi, that Adam Nidim B'chol Yoyim, that people are judged on a daily basis, that's why we could daven. But if we pass on like the Rabbanim, that everything is decided in Rosh Hashanah, there's no point in davening every day. So Tosfos asks, of course we say three times a day in Shemoneh Esrei, we say Refa'enu. So does that mean that according to Rabbanan, that there's no point of saying Refa'enu? So some explain that even if a person was decreed that he should be sick, we could daven that the illness should go away, even according to Rabbanan, and that's what we're davening. Another pshat that Tosfos would suggest is that there's a concept of Tefillas HaRabim. Even if a person, if it was decreed on a person, Chas V'Shalom, on Rosh Hashanah, that he should be ill in the course of this year, Tefillas HaRabim could change everything. Another pshat that the Yavid suggests. Yes, according to Rabbanon, it's decreed on Rosh Hashanah who will be sick. But all of those decrees are connected to a condition. What is the condition that they're connected to if the person doesn't daven? But if a person davens, then the halacha is that the tefillah will always help. So Agamar just discussed being mispalel al kitzrei of Almari on people who are sick. The Meiri says there's a difference between davening for all people who are sick versus davening on behalf of a specific sick person. Says the Meiri, to daven that in one tefillah that all sick people should get well is something that, according to Rabbanan, doesn't work. But to daven about a specific individual who is unfortunately sick, that he should get well, is permitted. Our Gemara just introduced a very interesting topic. And that was, our Gemara said that there's this distinction which cucumbers one may eat and will heal, will be a refuah, and which are not, is something that we shouldn't teach Amratzim. And this is the basis for a very serious discussion in the Paiskim, if it's appropriate to translate Torah Shabbat Peh. There's those that suggest that we should not translate Torah Shabbat Peh, because Rebbe, when he saw that people were forgetting Torah Shabbat Peh, and he instituted Eis Lasa L'Hashem HaFerah Teresecha, and he instituted the writing of the Mishnayos, later on the Gemara. But everything that was instituted was only the minimal, because the reality is that Torah Shabbat Peh is supposed to be learned orally. And therefore, to expand and say that we could not just have Torah Shabbat Peh committed to the Mishnayos and the Gemara, but we should also have it translated, is not permitted. There are others that disagree and say that included in the heter of Eis Lasis LaHashem Hefer Teresecha is writing anything that helps us learn. So if we live in a time and a place where people will not be able to learn without these translations, then just like Rebbe saw the need and wrote the Mishnayos, so too, we need to do whatever we need to do to spread the word of Torah. And this has been an ongoing debate in the history of Klal Yisrael. Our Gemara seems to say that we have to make sure that the Torah is not available to the Amoratzim, and we have to keep it sort of hidden from them. In fact, there was a controversy when the Ein Yaakov, which is a compilation of the Gadita and Shas, was translated. The Divrei Chaim felt that it was inappropriate. Other Paiskim held that, on the contrary, it brings the Torah available to all of us to learn. The same question, apparently, the Chasam Sofer originally gave a Haskama to a Sefer which represented a translation of Shas into German, but there are those that suggest that the Chasam Sofer retracted his Haskama on that translation. There's also much discussion because the Rambam wrote many of his Sforim in Aramis, and then there's those. So we see that the Rambam clearly held that writing Torah in a foreign language, if that will bring the Torah to the masses, is appropriate to do. We learned in the Mishnah that somebody said, "Koinim tamshishani toyim, mutar ba'ava." He's not allowed to eat something of a loose consistency, but he is allowed to eat something of a thicker consistency. Says the Gemara Masnison, that says that Maisa Avo, Maisa Kederi, which is thick, is not considered a tafshel, is the loike bavloi, is not consistent with the opinion of the bavloi. Dom Rav Zeira bavloi tapshoi. Rav Zeira used to say about the foolish people from Bavel, Dachli lachma belachma. They used to eat bread with bread. That means that they ate porridge that was made out of wheat with bread. So we see that they eat something that's thick with bread. And therefore, we said earlier in our shir that anything that's eaten together with bread is considered a tafshel. So the Bavloi would certainly consider this a food, which is ava, they would consider it a tafshel. So the Marashah explains why they consider it tapshoi, because when you eat food and you're combining different types of food, you're supposed to have different taste. If the two foods are essentially the same and taste the same, then that's not the proper way of eating a food. But then I saw a beautiful pshat. We all eat. We all need to eat, because eating is what helps us survive. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, that we need to eat. But there are different people that eat for different purposes. There are those that eat because they need to have energy and strength to be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and do whatever they have to do. And obviously that can't be accomplished without eating. And there are those that eat, their life is just one cycle. The life is just one cycle of gashmias. They eat to have strength to be able to eat again. So the Chasam Sofer says, Bavloi tapshoi. Who is a foolish person? Says the Chasam Sofer, the Gemara says, the identification of a foolish person is someone who's achli nahama benahama. Somebody who only eats bread, not that he's eating bread that he should have the energy to do what he's supposed to do, but he's eating bread, nahama ben hama. All of his eating, all of his life is just one long series of eating, so he should be able to eat more. Says the Gemara Omer of Chizda, the Mashalhoin, lahalan nakti deskula. He says, I asked the people who, from the city of Hutzal, they were very careful in the way they ate. Hai desa, this dice that we're discussing, heichen mali lamechla. What's the proper way of eating it? The chiti, so is it proper to eat wheat daisa, belachm dechita, with wheat bread, and the sari, barley cereal, should be eaten belachm desara, with barley bread. Adilma, the chiti, wheat cereal, should be eaten with the sari, with barley bread, or the sari and barley cereal should be eaten b'dechiti, with wheat bread. Rava achle b'chassisi. He used to eat the cereal together with flour. Rabbi Rav Huna Ashkel Rav Huna, the Ka'achal Daisa Betz Basay. He met Rav Huna, Rabbi saw his father Rav Huna, that he was eating the cereal Betz Basay with his fingers. Amalei, my Ka'achal Mar B'yodei, why are you eating with your fingers? Amalei, Hacha, Amar Rab, because Rav taught us, Daisa Betz Basim. If you eat the cereal with your fingers, it's most tasty. For kol dekein betartin, and certainly if you eat it with two fingers, for kol dekein betlas, and even more so if you eat it with three fingers, that gives taste. Amalei Rav lechiburei, v'kein amalei Rav Huna l'Rabba berei, mezamnelach l'meichel daisa. If they invite you to eat daisa, parsa at parsa, it's worth going up to a travel for a parsa to get the daisa meal. Lemit meichel bisser de tura, if you're invited to eat axe meat, add telsaprasin. You should walk tarsaprasin, because these are foods that are very valuable, very healthy, and it's worth walking that far to eat them. But another pshat is that when you eat daisa, when you eat the cereal, the aloch, It gives you strength till the amount of time to walk a parsa. And if you eat meat, it gives you strength that you could walk three parsa and just still be satiated from that meat. Amalei Rav Lechiburei. V'ken Amalei Rav Huna L'Rabba Berei. Kol Midam, any food, L'Tiflach Kami Rebach. If you ate the food and you need to expel it, you're not allowed to do so in front of your Rebbe. It's a lack of Dar L'Cheretz. Levad Mekara V'daisa. Except the saliva that's formed from cucumbers and daisa. Hein doim l'psilta sha'iva. They're like you pour down your system melted lead. Obviously very dangerous. And therefore, because they're so dangerous, afilu kamish v'malka, even if you're standing in front of the king, where of course you have to show much derecherets, this is a question of sakonis nefeshes, and plight, expel it and don't be embarrassed. And of course the paiskim say that the halacha that we just discussed doesn't only afflict a king, it also reflects and standing in front of a Rebbe. Says the Gemara, continuing discussing what is the proper way of eating the cereal. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Chad ochel daisa betz basay, one would eat daisa with his fingers, v'chad ochel behutza would eat it with a piece of wood. Amalei de ochel behutza, the one that ate it with a piece of wood, to the one that ate it betz basay, admosa atum acheleni tzoyascha. There's sometimes dirt under the fingernail, and when you put your finger into the cereal, you're getting that dirt, which is of course very unappealing, into the cereal. Amalei da'ochel betz basay le'da'ochel behutza. So the one that ate it with his fingers said to the one that ate it with a piece of wood, ad masei atem achleni roikach. They used to take that piece of wood and put it into the cereal, and then put it into the mouth, and then reuse it, and they put this stick, the piece of wood, with the saliva of the other person into it. The Ben Yoyada says that the Gemara is very deliberate in telling us that, not saying who ate the food which way, because each one of these Amoraim held that the other person was eating the food in a very improper way. So according to him, the person was doing wrong, and it's not right to mention it. Of course, the question is that why is the concern only that if it was eaten with a piece of wood, why would, even if you ate it with a fork or a spoon, they should have the same consideration? So why is the Gemara speaking about the piece of wood? So the Mashah explains that a silverware, a fork, a spoon, could be cleaned. So if somebody stuck their silverware into this food, they would be careful to clean it before they put it back, and they then put it into the mouth. They would be careful to clean it again. But if somebody eats it with this piece of wood, which is hard to clean, you end up having the person's germs in the food. Another pshat that I saw is that the piece of wood is very thin, and because the Ben Yoyad explains, it was a thin piece of wood, and they were concerned that if they're going to try to wash the piece of wood between every time they put it in, it's just going to break and won't be usable. A silverware, we don't have to be worried. One of the things we actually see from this Gemara is that they certainly ate some foods with their hands. And this is the basis why, even though we know that the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Pei Aleph is so strict that one has to wash Mayim Achronim when he finishes a meal, we find that there are people who are not so careful always about washing Mayim Achronim. And the Paiskim explain the reason they're not so careful is because the reason you have to wash Mayim Achronim is because during the meal, your hands got dirty. But nowadays, if we're not eating with our hands, of course, everybody eats with forks and spoons and knives, so our hands don't really get dirty. And moreover, the place can differentiate if there's a serving plate or everybody's eating from their own individual plate, and therefore, that's the reason people are not as careful with Mayim Achronim as the Gemara would suggest. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, Eisel, Kamei, Belusfin. They brought to them figs that are not that very poor quality figs, which are difficult to digest. Rav Yehuda Ochel, Rav Yehuda ate from them, Rav Shimon Loyachel, Rav Shimon did not eat from them. Amalei, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Shimon, My Tama Loyachel Ma, why are you refusing to eat from them? Amalei, Rav Shimon, Eloi, and Yotzman, and Ma'im Kol Eker, they don't get digested. Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda says, on the contrary, if these are foods that don't get digested, koshkein, then they certainly should be eaten. If somebody eats food that doesn't get digested, so then he will be able to be full till tomorrow and won't need to eat that much. Rabbi Yehuda v'yosuka made Rav Tarfin. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting by Rav Tarfin. Amalei Rav Tarfin. Rav Tarfin said to Rabbi Yehuda, Hayoyim panecha tzuhuvim. Your face is glowing. Amalei. So Yehuda told Rav Tarfin, the reason for this is, Emes Yotzla Vedech L'Sada, yesterday we went out to the field, Ve'evelanu Tardim, and they brought for us, some say turnips or beets, V'chlanu B'loy Melech, and we ate them without salt. V'machalnu B'melech, had we eaten them with salt, then Koshken Shai P'nei Tznuvum, our faces would glow even more, because it would be even a better food. Amrahim Turnasa, there was a non-Jewish noblewoman, said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mairi Viravi, you are a Rav, you pass in Shilas, and you're also intoxicated. How are you allowed to paskin? The reason she said to this is because his face was glowing. Amala. So he said, Himnusa b'yuda de'isa. Believe me, eat te'imna, I never drink. The only time I drink is Kedusha v'avdalta. The only wine I drink is Kiddush and Avdalah and the Arba Kaisus on Pesach. And when I drink the Dal Kaisus on Pesach, v'chagrani tza'adi, and I have a headache. When they used to have a headache, they used to wrap a piece of material around the head. And I had a headache from the Pesach Ratzeres, from Pesach to Shavuos, just from drinking wine. So if that's the case, I certainly never drink. So why is my face glowing? He said, Chochmas Adam Tarponov. A person who's a Talmud Chochem, his face glows. And my face is glowing from the Torah that I learned. Why did he say from Pesach to Shavuos? So I saw that many Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says, Yayin kosher, if somebody drinks wine, pachad mefigoy, the fear is what causes him to lose the effect of the wine. We know that the Torah was given b'kailas b'brakim. The Torah was given with thunder and lightning. It was a situation of fear. And therefore, he says, till Shavuos, the Torah, the effect of the wine is there. But once Shavuos comes and we have Kabbalah Satorah, that takes away all of the effect of wine. Of course, this is a question. Some want to use this Gemara of Shlomo Zalman, and the Halicha Shlomo has a discussion that from here we see that one should not use grape juice for the Dal Kaisis, because if the wine had such a detrimental effect on him, he should have just drank grape juice. Moreover, I saw that some Paiskim suggest that from here we see that the obligation to drink wine on Purim is not so absolute, because the Gemara is saying that he's only concerned about drinking wine on by Shabbos, Kiddush, and Avdolah on Pesach. What about Purim? Amalei Tzedaka L'Rabbi Yehuda. There was Tzedaki that said to Rabbi Yehuda, Panecha, Daimim, your face is similar, Ikemal V'Ribis, people who lend on interest, so they make money without working hard. Again, it was a profession that was a lucrative profession. Amalei, so Yehuda said to him, Yehuda, Tfai, and Asirin. Jews are prohibited from doing both of these things. But what is the issue? El Esrim v'arba beis akisa islei. There are 24 bathrooms beis medrasha between my home and the beis medrash. V'kol shor v'shor ani nechtas kolach v'echad. Every hour, I go into a bathroom. So posh pshat is that he constantly used the bathroom, and since he used the bathroom, that caused him to clear his system out. But I saw that the Sefer Likutei Bas Likutei has a different pshat, a very beautiful pshat. What is the point of the 24 bathrooms? He said the 24 bathrooms represent the 24 hours of the day. And what he was saying is that all of the time, that every moment, all of the time during the day, I think about my eating. And I think about what does one have from the eating. As we've been discussing in our shiur, eating is just a necessary part of our lives, and it should only be undertaken for what we need energy to do Torah mitzvahs. What he was saying is that I don't eat just because I want to enjoy my eating. I eat because I want to have strength to do what I'm supposed to do. How do I make sure, he said, that I eat with the proper intention? He says, the way I make sure that I only eat with the proper intention is that I keep on remembering what is the result of one's eating. The result of one's eating is that he ends up having to use the bathroom. So the food is really nothing to be so excited about. Says the Advisor of Yehuda, Nafkas Naktas Amra, the wife of Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Karozlo Be Medrasha, Rabbi Yehuda, when he would go to the Beis Medrash, Shokel Gufa in Akasfe, he would take a barrel on his back. Amar Gedoyle Malach Shemachabez as Baala. Even though he was such a great person, he carried the basket, carried the barrel, and he had where to sit in the Beis Medrash. Similarly, of Shimon Shokel Tzan Al Kasfe, and Amar Gedoyle Malach Shemachabez as Baala. By carrying the basket, barrel, he'll have where to sit. And what the point the Meretz Chaya says of this Gemara is that a person should not be reluctant to do anything that will help him to learn. Says Madvista Rabbi Yehuda Nafkas Naktas Amra, the wife of Yehuda took wool over Galima the Hutfi, and she made a cape. Kanafkas Lashuka, when she would go out, she would wear it. And when Yehuda would go to shul, have a mechse, he would wear it. Have a mevarich, when he wore it, he would make a bracha, baruch shatani me'il. He would make a bracha that he shatani me'il. So we see from here, actually say to Rishonim, that he didn't make a shechiyanu. The Gemara doesn't say that he made a shechiyanu. So from here we see that just because somebody bought a new garment does not necessarily mean that he should make a shechiyanu. A shechiyanu should only be made on a significant garment. Of course, many mefarshim in discussing this Gemara asked the question, how could the husband and wife wear the same garment? Isn't there a halacha that that a man is not allowed to wear the garment of a woman, and so too vice versa. So the Paiskim say that the Issa of Laisilbash only applies that if it's a garment that is made specifically for a man, or a garment that's made specifically for a woman. But if it's a garment like a cape, which was made not in any specific style for men or women, and it was made in our Gemara specifically to be worn by a man and a woman, there is no Isser of Laisilbash. Says the Gemara, Zah Nechad Gozer Rav Shimon Gamliel Taneisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel decreed a fast. And as we learned in Masechta Tainus, when they would have these fast days, everybody would gather together in the shul to daven. Rabbi Yehuda lo yasla bei tenesa. Rabbi Yehuda did not come to that gathering. Amrlei lo yasla ksuyei. So they told Rav Shimon the reason he didn't come because he didn't have a garment to wear. Shadalei glima. So he sent him a garment that he should be able to wear and cover like kibel. Dalit tfisa. So when they came, he was sitting on a mat. And he said, he said to the person that had come from the Nasi with the garment, Chazima Ika, look what's under my seat. I have all of this money. I have plenty of money. I just don't want to have any hanor from the money in this world. And that's why I didn't buy myself a garment. And that's why I didn't want to take the gift of a garment. So of course the Mefarshim all ask that ain't Soim Chalanes. So how did he know that he had this all this money under his seat? So some explain because the seat was uncomfortable. So he recognized that if the seat is uncomfortable, it must be because there is money under here. Another Pshat Ben Yoyada says that indeed, under normal circumstances, one should not rely on a nes, one should not expect a nes. But here, he was doing this because he wanted to have a respectful answer to the Nasi that would be acceptable why he didn't come, and also acceptable why he doesn't want to take the coat. And that's why that's not considered relying on a nes. Why didn't he put on his cape that he shared with his wife and come? The Mefarshim say a simple terrace because his wife was out at that time. And we just learned in the Gemara that whenever his wife needed the cape, she would wear the cape. And therefore, it wasn't available for him to wear to come to the Beis HaTainus.